Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. Today we want to learn to be more trusting people. We want to be trusting people. That's important. To be the community that we want to be here in Philomath or wherever we live outside of Philomath, we need to trust those who make decisions for us on behalf of us, city councilmen, city office managers, those who are in leading positions in the community. It creates a healthy community. We also want to be trusting two of the relationships that we have with our relatives, fathers, sons, fathers, daughters, mothers, sons, friends that we have. And when we have that trusting relationship, life is so much sweeter, isn't it? And here at Peace Lutheran Church, we want to have trust here with our members and how we interact with one another. The more trust that we have of one another, the healthier and more vibrant we are as a congregation, as a family of God. Right off the bat, I want to recognize one thing in our gospel text from Matthew chapter 10 that really is eye-popping, and that is the trust that Jesus places into the hands of his disciples. They're named here for the very first time. Jesus has all authority, and it's mentioned here in Matthew chapter 10. He has all authority, but he hands off very important duties to these 12 disciples. Did you catch the duties? To cast out demons, heal the sick, raise up the dead, heal the sick. I think I repeated one of them, but there's four job duties activities, and these are major duties to be done for God's kingdom to expand and grow. Now, before this had happened in Matthew chapter 10, at this point in time, Jesus had done these things himself and done a perfect job. Jesus had raised people from the dead. He healed the sick, no problem. And after this had happened, Jesus did it too. He healed the dead. He cleansed the lepers. There's really only one reason why Jesus would hand off these duties to these disciples. You see, Jesus had an amazing amount of trust. We should pay attention. How many of you would want to trust like Jesus? I hope all of us would raise our hands. We'd be healthy. We all want to trust like Jesus, but as a pastor, I want to let you know that before you ever raise your hands and say, I want to do exactly that, it's important to read the fine detailed print exactly of what this trust is all about. And I want to talk to you about it because it's significant and it can change life. The kind of trust that's being talked about in Matthew chapter 10 is not a low level of trust. Hey, have you ever known someone that just has a low level of trust for other people? Here's typically what happens. When you have a low level of trust for other people, you kind of trust them when things are okay, but you don't give yourself completely and you don't extend yourself all that much. Someone with a low level amount of trust is always on edge. Let me give you an example this morning to flesh this out, what that's like. A low level of trust. Pretend Wally's my next door neighbor. Wally's my next door neighbor, and he asked me if he could borrow my spatula. A low level of trust would be imagining all the bad things that he'd do to my spatula, like hand it over to the dog and have it bitten off and wrecked and ruined. Someone with a low level amount of trust imagines all the bad things that the person is going to do with the thing that's borrowed. Well, you'd never do that, I don't think. I don't know. See, Jesus didn't have that with his disciples. Think about this. Jesus didn't say, hey, Peter, here's the job, but you know what? He didn't say under his breath, he's going to mess it up. And Bartholomew, he's going to get the directions wrong. And Andrew, he never does anything right. Jesus never did that. Low level of trust, Jesus did not have that with anyone. So we want to be like Jesus in trust. Hey, friends, Jesus didn't have a mid-level of trust either. What's a mid-level amount of trust? Actually, that is the way the world operates today and has since ancient times. Let me explain what that means. To have a mid-level amount of trust means that I will treat you well as long as you treat me well. It's a trust based on fairness. You give, and then I'll give. There's actually a lot of There's actually a lot of truth and wisdom behind that teaching. And the ancient world, long before Jesus, actually that's the way it operated. And there was a little code that people lived by, even in Jesus' day. You've heard of it before. It's called the Code of Hammurabi. And what that said was this, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. And what that meant was, negatively, if someone did harm to me, I had every right to do harm to them in the same level at the same amount. It was a fairness thing. But also positively, what the Code of Hammurabi taught was that if I did something very positive to someone and blessed them with a cup of water, then I should return the favor at the same level to someone else and bless them with a cup of water. It was a fairness type system. That's the way the ancient world worked. And what's important to share with you this morning is that Jesus did not believe that. In fact, in his own teaching, Jesus brought up the Code of Hammurabi. He said, you have heard an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. I want you to go deeper. Jesus' level of trust is even deeper than a mid-level. Friends, that's the way the world works right now. It's at just a mid-level. You do something good for me, I'll do something good for you. We want to be like Jesus and trust at his level. What is that deep level? You know, that deep level is when someone is not against you, obviously, but they're not even neutral towards you. They're for you, no matter what you do. No matter if you don't follow through, no matter if you are prone to make mistakes in the past, they are for you personally. If you ever have a relationship like that, that is a trust that just, it just takes the edge off and you're able to just, what's the phrase, let your collar down and just be yourself. You know, when Alicia and I went on vacation a couple weeks ago, we saw her brother, Alex, and it was interesting. I noticed the conversation that we had with Alex in that we were able right away to have a trust level that was very deep. We didn't just talk about sports or the weather or all those things that are in the news. It's kind of surface level conversation. We all do that. But you see, there was a trust level where we could share, they have two kids and we have two kids, and we could share our struggles with parenting. They could share their struggles with parenting. One of those kids, not going to name who it was, had a temper tantrum, and it wasn't a big deal because we were just as we were. There was a level of trust that was so special. And you know, as I look out in our congregation, that deep level of trust, we have it here with a lot of relationships. You know, you don't have to put on appearances. You can just be who you are. And there's just a level of trust. We have it here at this congregation. I'm so thankful for that. What kind of level of trust did Jesus have? Low, mid, or high or deep? We all know. High and deep. We can say that because Jesus was for all people, not just people he agreed with. Not just people that he connected with. This is incredible and ought to have more people come to Christianity than ever. Jesus was for every person that he came across. No person on this earth has ever been like that. He wasn't neutral. He was for every person. Think about it this way. We know it because on the night that Jesus was betrayed, around that table are the disciples that are named in our text this morning. Peter was over here. Thaddeus was over here. And right next to Jesus, there was one who's mentioned in our text this morning. His name was Judas. And Jesus knew on that night that Judas would betray him. Jesus knew the plan. He knew how much money had been exchanged. Jesus still trusted Judas, allowed him to participate in the meal. Jesus even got down on his feet and cleaned Judas' feet that evening. He was for Judas. Jesus was also for Peter. Even though he knew Peter would deny him three times, he wasn't neutral. Peter, if you mess up, then I'm not gonna be kind to you. Jesus was for Peter. Jesus is for every single person here this morning. He's not neutral towards you. He's for you. There was a movie that came out this last year. I don't know if any of you saw it. How many of you saw Hidden Figures? Did everyone see it? Great movie. But the story Hidden Figures is about a true story in the early 60s when NASA was under pressure to have the first American orbit around the Earth. There was a lot of pressure to do this, and so they came up with a computer to do this. I don't remember the name of the computer. I think it was an IBM model. And the computer displaced a whole bunch of individuals, mathematicians and physicists. They had to go on the other end of the parking lot down into the dungeon of another building way off the property of NASA. But at a crucial time when that launch was gonna take off, there was some questions about the calculations of this computer. And John Glenn, the one who would ultimately orbit the Earth, this is documented in history, John Glenn said, get me the girl. I want the girl. And if her calculations are good, the project is a go. Trust in that one person. And at this point in the movie, you're like, John Glenn's placing all his trust in that one individual. It's jaw-dropping to see that this happened, and it's historically verified. You know, in a lot of ways, Jesus has done the same thing with his disciples and with us. He's handed his mission to spread his kingdom with these disciples. He trusted their calculations, their movements to spread God's kingdom. And Jesus trusts you, too, with those calculations and movements. So as he asks us to join in the spreading of his kingdom and our community, here's a challenge. Here's the challenge. Not that the great news is that we receive trust from our Father, but here's the challenge. Can we improve our trust of others? Can we improve the trust of leaders in our community? Can we trust the relationships that we have in our lives, our relatives? Can we trust one another in our church family? It's not an option. We must do it. Because the reality of it is, God would not trust us if he also wouldn't want us to trust others at a deep level. So let's trust one another. Get healthier. Every single person before everyone. Not just neutral, but before everyone. And build a culture of trust in our community and our church. Amen. Let's pray about that. Dear Lord, today's topic is very relevant to today's world in which there is a lack of trust. Lord, we thank you, first of all, that you trust us. This church is here because of you. The activities that happen here are because of you. And you've trusted us to bring them out into the community and bring them out into the world. Help us this morning to pass it along and build trust to others. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.